Welcome to the Bedford Citizen podcast, Bedford Explained. I'm your host, Gene Kalb. The Bedford Citizen has had an ongoing column called Bedford Explained for several years. The idea is simple. As the name suggests, we're in the business of explaining things around town. Traditions, events, names, rumors, memorials, tall tales, etc. I know I've lived here in Bedford for over 30 years, and there's still things around town that make me curious. The horse trough on the Great Road. Who was John Glenn Middle School named after? Not the astronaut. After seeing these curiosities over and over again, they quickly just become part of the scenery, without a thought as to the how or the why. But these things have a story. That's the idea behind the column, and we thought it would be even more interesting to have some of those stories with the people who are involved. That's the idea behind the podcast. First up, pole capping. It's April in New England. The snow has melted, the forsythia is in bloom, and for people living around Boston, it's showtime. April around here means Patriot Day and all that entails. Morning baseball, the Boston Marathon, parades, reenactments, tourists, and more. And our very own Bedford Pole Capping Day kicks it all off. As you know, Bedford is nestled between Lexington and Concord, the two main locations of the Battle of April 19, 1775. There were no battles that actually took place here in town, but the Bedford Minuteman joined the other Minutemen in the battle at the North Bridge and Merriam's Corner in Concord. Today we're going to do our best to explain Pole Capping Day and Bedford's role on April 19th. Today's guest is Sharon McDonald, a longtime Bedford resident and the official town historian. Sharon was appointed Bedford's town historian in 2014. She was a longtime children's librarian at the Bedford Free Public Library. She is also the author of many Bedford history books, The Bedford Flag Unfurled, In a Meeting House and Its People, The History of First Parish and the Bedford Common, as well as Bedford History for Kids. She is also the author of many of the Bedford Explained columns you see in the Bedford Citizen. Welcome, Sharon.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Well, thanks for coming today to the studios of Bedford TV. There is no better expert in Bedford history, and thank you so much for joining us on today's our first ever podcast. Today, we'd like to talk to you about Pole Capping Day and the tradition of pole capping in general as a form of protest, and then how Bedford was specifically involved on the April 19th battle. As I understand it, pole capping, the celebration here in town, is actually not a reenactment of a specific event, but more of a representation of a colonial form of protest against the British. Is that true?
Well, yes. There aren't any writings from that time that say, Bedford, I'm going down this morning to climb the pole. It was a thing that lots of towns nearby had, the pole and the pole capping. And it was done in New York City and in Savannah, Georgia, and in Rochester, New York. It was a colonial symbolic, more than a gesture, a symbolic act.
Okay. There was also the Liberty Tree in Boston, too, started, right?
Right. That was maybe the first thing. There was a beautiful Liberty Tree, a beautiful tree that was an elm. And they, with the Sons of Liberty, when they wanted to meet, they would hang flags in the tree. And sometimes they would meet under the tree and call it Liberty Hall. Well, they needed a taller pole as one of the taller place to hang their flag. So they got a pole that was taller than the tree. That's one story I heard. And the British cut it down. That's the other story I've heard. But anyway, it evolved into a pole rather than a tree.
Okay. Can you explain a little more about how the modern pole capping celebration started here in town and how it became the event that it is?
Well, yeah. Can I tell you some more about the history of the pole
please.
Capping? It really, the red cap, the Liberty cap, goes way back to Roman times when the slaves were manumitted, when they were freed. They would wear a red cap. So this red cap means I am no slave. And that continued through the ages. So that was a symbol that people would have known in colonial times. Paul Revere made a cartoon with the Liberty cap in the cartoon and a little pole, not a 40-foot pole. It was a a symbol that people would have known at the time. It wasn't something weird like, what are they doing downtown, which is what it is now.
Right, exactly.
I say to people, you coming to pole capping? And they're like, what is pole capping? So that's what we're doing today. We're telling them.
We're telling them all about pole capping. Okay, so the tradition started in Bedford. How?
Well, you have to fast forward to 1964, when the Bedford Minutemen were assembling for the very first time. The Minutemen, the selectmen, put out an invitation for all men, hale and hearty, or something like that, to become a troop of Minutemen. So the second year was, that happened in 1964, and in 1965 they had this first celebration. I asked a couple of people whose parents were there at that time, and they don't remember who had the idea or how it got going, but 1964. I'm sorry, I'm too used to talking about old times in Bedford.
And not, I know, this is modern
1900s.
History.
This is weird for me.
Also, I mean, the pole capping day and the celebration is one thing, but the Bedford back, we'll go back to the old history now. Can you tell us a little bit more about how the Bedford Minutemen and the militia were involved in the April 19th, 1775 activities?
Yeah. Sometimes the image is farmers dashing out of their fields and running willy-nilly to the bridge. Actually, they'd been fomenting a revolution in the Americas for quite a long time. There was, I think, the first Liberty Tree in Boston was in response to the Stamp Act, which is 1770.
Okay.
1763.
Okay.
Sorry. Anyway, quite a while earlier. And in Bedford, they had responded to a letter out from Boston saying, we want to boycott the British goods and don't use anything that is imported from England. At the town meeting in January of 75, the town proposed a warrant article that they create a Minuteman company.
Okay.
And it failed. They said, let's table it. So in March, it came up again. And this time they said, yes, we need to be prepared for whatever's going to happen. And they voted to pay 25 men a shilling a week to train on the common and be ready for whatever was going to happen. Now, this is March, and it was just two or three weeks later that the word came out in the middle of the night, the regulars are out, and they're marching, and they're coming this way. They came to Lexington first, and the message came over the hill to Bedford, knocking on doors, get up, the regulars are out. The captain of the Minutemen was Jonathan Wilson, who lived up kind of at the end of old Billerica Road, you know where that curve is?
Sure.
Yeah, that's where his house is. He was staying up late with his brother-in-law, who'd been in Boston selling his farm produce. His brother, Thompson Maxwell, came back, and they were talking about the situation in Boston and how awful it was. They went to bed, and just an hour or two later, the knock came at the door, come. So Thompson Maxwell decided to come with the Bedford guys. They came down to the center of town to the Fitch Tavern, which is still there. If you come out of Mudge Way, it's kind of like a T. And when you look across the street, that's the Fitch Tavern with the sheds in kind of an arc full of wood. That's the Fitch Tavern. So the Minutemen had arranged that they were all going to meet at Jeremiah Fitch's tavern. And they all straggled in, and Fitch didn't have time to cook them anything, but he gave them perhaps some cold porridge or something like that. Captain Wilson said, "It's a cold breakfast, boys, but we'll give the British a hot dinner. We'll have every dog of them before night."
How many Minutemen had breakfast?
Well, there were 25 Minutemen, so I expect there were 25 of them there. And I've been in that tavern room, and they must have been in shifts, because you can't fit 25 people in that little tavern room.
I've been in there, too.
Yeah. It's kept just as it was back then. It's a wonderful, dark little tavern room. Oh, I love it.
Now, I read somewhere that there's a difference between the militias and the Minutemen. Mm-hmm. Was there a militia in Bedford before they formed the Minutemen?
There was. Every town had to have a militia, and the militia was every man between 16 and 60 years old. So they had, our militia was around 70, 80 men.
Okay.
And the Minutemen were carved out of the militia to be a special...
The sort of the colonial Navy SEALs is kind of
yes,
how I
read it. Yes, the colonial Navy SEALs. So 77 men went to the bridge on that day, plus probably people who weren't in the militia, maybe some older men, maybe some women, maybe some boys, maybe some girls. What do you think?
Sure.
But the official count is 77 men went. And they didn't just go for the battle. They didn't just go to shoot at the British. They were going to hide the stores that Concord and the surrounding towns had been gathering up for months. They had ammunition. They had guns. They had tents. They had medical supplies. They had wheat. They had rum. You can't have a good revolution without rum.
It helps.
Yeah. And it was in the Barrett's barn down from the bridge that I think it's fallen down now. It was up until recently. And they were trying to get the stuff on wagons and on horseback to get it out of town because they knew the lobster backs were out and they were after it. Finally, there weren't any wagons left, but it was April, and the land had just been plowed. So someone was putting the musket balls in the furrows of the new plowed ground just to hide it from the British. And then they came back over. Oh, well, the oral history says that one of the people who was hiding the stores was Nathaniel Page. And he had this flag with him that his family had carried since 1720. It was an antique flag, 50 years old, and he caught it up and took it with him, he said, to the bridge, set it down to hide the stores, and when he came back, there were little boys playing soldier with it. And you know, flags are just holy, and you mustn't play soldier with a flag. He grabbed it back and took it into his possession and probably bawled those little boys out.
Whatever happened to that flag?
Well, it's hanging in the Bedford Library at this moment.
I know it well. Can you tell us about Captain Wilson?
Captain Wilson, when he went over to the bridge, was in the skirmish. It wasn't really a battle. It took 5 or 10 minutes, and then it was over. But he and the Bedford Minutemen, along with the other towns who gathered, there were five towns: Acton, Bedford, Concord, Sudbury. Can't remember the fifth one. I never can remember all five. But anyway, Bedford's the important one.
Of course.
Bedford was there. They started chasing the British, the regulars. Everybody was British on that day, but chasing the regulars back to Boston. And he made it as far as what they call Bloody Angles, which is on the Battle Road just over the border in Lincoln.
Okay.
And there was quite a battle there, and there he was shot and killed. And they said, in Bedford. He never came home till they brought him home, which is very sad. So the second in command had to take over. And at the same time, Joe Blaine, you know, the Joe Blaine house that
sure.
Deacon Joe built, this is his son, Job. Blaine family had no imagination. They named everybody Job. Was wounded in his leg and had to have his leg amputated, but he lived for another 30 years. Okay. But it was quite a loss for Bedford. They kept on going and camped in Charlestown. Nathaniel Page was paid for 9 days of service, so it wasn't just a morning fight in Concord. It was a 9-day marathon.
They chased him all the way back to Boston, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that, my history is not that good. That when they were in Boston, they went to Bunker Hill. Was that the battle after or before?
That was after. That was in May, wasn't it, or June? It was a little while after. I'm sorry. That's not Bedford. I'm not an expert in that.
Fair enough. We don't need to talk about it. It's not in Bedford. anything else we should know about the Bedford Minuteman in April 19th?
Let me think. The pole capping, which is happening on Saturday, is going to be amazing. Usually the Bedford Minutemen, invite 15 companies to come and join them. So there'll be companies from all the towns nearby.
Yeah, it really is kind of opening day of Patriots Day.
It really is.
Well, thank you, Sharon, for the history. We're also talking to Jim Ringwood, captain of the Bedford Minuteman. Welcome, Jim.
Glad to be here. So you are the captain of the Minuteman. How long have you been on the Bedford Minuteman?
I've been a member for about a dozen years.
And how long have you been captain?
This is my second go around as captain. It was basically last fall I began my years in the position.
And have you been doing the pole capping for the last 12 years?
Yes, I have.
Except with COVID, obviously.
Yeah, that took us offline for a while, but we're really glad to be back.
Yeah, everybody is. Can you tell me a little bit about how the Minuteman got started? I know they started in 1964.
They did.
And then pole capping was the following year, if I'm correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, during 1964, there were a number of Bedford residents who were also members of the Lexington Minutemen, but they wanted to found a company of their own in town. So that's actually, I came to the Minutemen basically through marriage. My wife was the daughter of the first captain of the Minutemen, John Ahern.
Okay. So it runs in the family. Did the Minuteman come up with pole capping, or was that what, how did that work out? How did the first one start?
It's lost in the sands of time as to who originally came up with the idea, although John Ahern was an integral part of it. I'm sure others were involved deeply. It was something different. There weren't a lot of groups that were doing it. The tradition of the Liberty Pole or the Liberty Tree was something that was popular during before and during the Revolution.
Okay.
Basically, it was just a show of defiance.
Right. It was the Liberty Tree in Boston was one of the ones that started the whole thing, right?
Right. And a lot of towns put up Liberty Poles. You know, it started with the Romans.
Okay. Yes, I read that.
Putting something on top of a tree or a pole in defiance has a long tradition.
Okay.
But it was reborn for the Revolution.
Okay. Now, you participate in the Fitch Tavern Breakfast. Now, how did that tradition ever get started?
Well, it was because we have certain dignitaries, both for the town and for Hanscom, attend the ceremony. We thought it would be nice to greet our guests. And we alternate between a couple of people who are generous enough with their time and offering their homes. It's nice to have it at Fitch Tavern because that is the actual building where the original Minutemen met on the morning of April 19th before they marched to Concord.
Okay. And what other events do the Minutemen participate in? I know you said there's obviously lots of parades. Which ones, how do you choose which ones you go to on a Patriots Day? Or do you do multiple ones?
We actually do multiples. Patriots Day, we do both the Concord parade in the morning and the Lexington parade in the afternoon. And as a matter of fact, we also have multiple events on pole capping day because okay. we leave Bedford and we go to Merriam's Corner in Concord for the ceremony that they have over there.
Okay. And finally, who climbs a pole and how is that an honor or is that sort of the short straw? It looks like a kind of an arduous thing to do, but
we've had a combination of volunteers and conscripts, if you will. We've had a number of people climb. We've had a number of people climb multiple times. And it's funny because when they first started, no one climbed. They lowered the pole, they put the cap on top, and they raised it back up.
Okay.
So I imagine that didn't go over great with the crowd. So climbing became the popular option.
How long did they do the lowering of the pole?
I'm not sure. It was probably only a couple of years.
Okay.
That happened. But we've had people climbing for ages.
Okay.
I understand that there are a number of active duty service members at Hanscom who are more than interested in carrying on the tradition.
Okay. Have you ever climbed the pole yourself?
I have not.
Okay.
I know my limitations.
That's probably a good thing. I would be in the same boat. Anything else we should know about the Minuteman and pole capping?
Well, again, it's our signature event. And it's also a very popular event for the surrounding companies. We actually have people coming from as far as New Hampshire. We expect about 250 participants this year. It's the first major event of the season, so it's a great chance for everybody to get everything out of mothballs, to come have a good time. It's a low-impact event. It's a very popular event. Everyone enjoys when the British Colonel comes and basically berates us for moving against the crown.
Right.
And it gives everyone a chance to get ready for the full season.
Yeah, this is opening day of Patriot Day, is sort of how it's described.
Pretty much.
It's great. And it really does, there is a lot of crowd participation, which does make it a lot of fun. I've been to many a pole capping day, and it is a lot of fun.
Excellent.
Well, thank you so much for your time, and I look forward to seeing you on Saturday. Hopefully the weather is going to cooperate. I think it's looking better every day. So.
Oh, sure. If we get anything, it'll be a few raindrops. We're not worried. Oh, so we encourage people to come. We look forward to seeing them and to participate in the event.
Thanks so much, Jim. Great talking
to you.
You're
welcome.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
We also have on the phone from Santa Fe, New Mexico, Leanne Knight, who with her husband, Michael, were owners of the Fitch Tavern from 2003 to 2019, who carried on some of the traditions at the tavern as it concerns pole capping day as well as Patriots Day.
Welcome, Leanne.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, thanks again. Now, you bought the Fitch Tavern in 2003 from the Readers. Am I getting that right?
We did buy it from the Readers, and it could very well have been in 2003. Yes, it was, in fact, because my youngest daughter had just been born. Yes.
Okay. And I know you did extensive renovations when you bought the property, but the Fitch Tavern also came with an interesting tradition that relates around pole capping day. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. Yes. Well, we found out after we bought the property, there were several traditions that Dave Reeder, who's a wonderful man, didn't really tell us, but we were happy to embrace all of them. And one of them, of course, was opening our house on pole capping day before the parade and the actual pole capping event to dignitaries and the Bedford Minutemen. And essentially, the Bedford Minutemen hosted that event. Unlike, of course, one of the other wonderful traditions we did was on Patriots Day when they marched to Concord, and then we fed them breakfast every year. But on pole capping, they really hosted the event. We opened up the house. People could stand on our front porch, on our front lawn, and really have a great view of pole capping and all the festivities around it that day.
Okay. So you actually hosted two breakfasts around Patriots Day.
Yes, yes. The Patriots Day was a little bit more involved for us. One, we had to get up really early on holiday, which my kids weren't too happy about. But the Minutemen would show up quite early. They would sit in that historical, what we used to call the tap room. It really wasn't the tap room when it was a tavern. The tap room was actually our living room, but it had gotten that name many, many years before. And so that was the old kitchen in the Fitch Tavern. And that was probably the one room, and hopefully still is, the one room in the house that really hadn't been changed in 300 years. It still had original flooring. It had the wood paneling along the walls. There really wasn't much change that had happened there. So it was a great place to reenact the breakfast the morning of April 19. Oh my gosh, my you know, East Coast history is already failing me. April 19, where the Minutemen would come quite early, we would serve them breakfast, and then they would gather up all their gear and rifles and drum and head off down the main, Concord Road to Concord.
Yeah, how many people were you serving breakfast food? I've been in that room that you're describing, and it's not very big. So
no, it is not very big. But luckily, the readers had a table made for the room that really replicated what that room would have been like, I think. And so they were very kind to leave that table for us, and it. Probably, I'm guessing we would have anywhere between 15 and 30 Minutemen. So of course, not everybody got to sit at the long table, but there was enough room for everyone to have breakfast.
Oh, that sounds great. Now, I know you said there were some other traditions with the Fitch Tavern. I know you actually wrote a book on the Fitch Tavern tales. I know you've done a lot of research on this. What are some of the other stories?
Yeah. So one of the other traditions, and I'm not sure it continues now, but for many, many years, the third graders of Bedford would do their historical walking tour in the spring. And the Fitch Tavern was always one of the homes and buildings that they visited. So we, over a course of probably 2 weeks, we would have many classes of third graders coming through the house, the downstairs part of the house, and talk to them a little bit about the history of the tavern and just the history of the time, and point out, various, particulars around the house. I know at one point when we were doing construction, we found several artifacts. And so I would always, when I would do the tour, try to show them, the musket balls that we found in our yard, or some of the broken pottery that was discovered, just to, hopefully make it a little bit more real for third graders. Of course, they were often more concerned with the dog hair on the floor and where my dog was.
I was going to ask, which took more work, the Minutemen or the third graders?
Yeah, the third graders were delightful, but I never quite knew what question was going to be thrown at me and whether it had anything to do with Bedford history.
Right. That's one thing. The pandemic has taught us all the appreciation of teachers and what's involved in teaching young kids.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, everybody now has a little bit more skill at that, probably.
Well, very good. Now, you sold, I should preface it that you are now living in Santa Fe, that you sold the Fitch Tavern in 2019. Yes. And with that, did you pass on the tradition to the new owners of the tavern and have expectations of them to follow on?
Well, we did try and leave them some notes on the nuances and the quirks of the Fitch Tavern. You know, at that point, and I'm sure COVID probably reinforced these changes, you know, at that point, the third graders had, I think that curriculum had changed. And the last couple of years, I was not doing those tours. The Minutemen hopefully have contacted the new owners about continuing the tradition around pole capping and the breakfasts. The breakfast, of course, was a highlight for us because we got to really feel, and we would sometimes try and invite people to come in and see what it was like to be sitting in that room at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning and around all these reenactors. It was quite fun.
Yeah, I bet. I don't think it seems you sold it in 2019, so there might have been one pole capping that they might have been able to host the owners, but sure. I think everything has been changed. So I'm going to reach out to them and see what they're going to say.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, I'm so glad to hear that the pole capping will happen again this year because it really kicks off the whole Patriot Day celebrations in all these towns. And it's just a wonderful, you know, it was great. We had, of course, a front row seat to all of that. And the guys, I do remember one story. One year, they would always leave the pole because, of course, they had to add a pole to the flagpole in order to do this. And so they always would leave this huge wooden pole in our front yard the night before so that they could quickly grab it during the parade and march it down. But one year we were out there and enjoying the parade, and they get down to the flag, and you know, I look down and I realize the pole is still sitting in our front yard. The next thing I know, we've got two Minutemen kind of running back to our house to grab it. I think they must have all gotten down there and realized there was no pole to climb.
That's a great story. Yeah. Pole tapping day without the pole.
Right.
Well, that's great. I love hearing these stories. And pole capping is indeed back. And hopefully the traditions will continue.
Yes, I hope so.
Thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us. And welcome to our first podcast. And thank you very much.
Finally, we have Stephanie Keep, who bought the Fitch Tavern from the Knights back in 2019. And thanks to COVID, they were looking forward to their first pole capping day as tavern host this year. Welcome, Stephanie.
Thanks for joining us.
I'm so excited. I'm interrupting you. Thank you for having me. It's great.
Oh, great. Yes. So you bought the house from the Knights in 2019. And you were only privy really to the one pole capping day, if my math is correct, with COVID and all.
Yeah. And actually we moved. So we took ownership of the house in February, but we did some work, and we actually moved our stuff in the day after pole capping in 2019.
Okay.
So we just missed it.
And you are on board to carry on the tradition this year?
Oh, we're so excited. We actually we really wanted to host that first year, but another neighbor had, you know, already taken over. And I don't know how we would have done it because we didn't have any furniture in the house, but we were very keen. exactly. But we would have figured something out. I was so excited when we got the email asking us if we would do it this year, because finally we can do it. So it's really exciting.
Oh, that's great. Now, when you bought the house from the Knights, did you know this was part of the deal?
We had heard rumors. And actually, you know, we bought the house. Suzanne was the realtor, and Suzanne knows everything in the town. Yes. So I think she had mentioned it. So we'd heard rumors of it. And I think you probably know, I think the Knights even did. I heard the Minutemen would come like really early in the morning and like, the, you know, that Michael Knight like made gruel, and I'm like, oh man, all right, I got to find a gruel recipe. You know, I was really, really excited, but no gruel, just coffee and danishes, I think, this year.
Okay. Well, the tradition actually was cold cornmeal and hot buttered rum.
And see?
That might be something at 5 in the morning, might not be good for anybody, but
No, I'm super into it. I'm gonna chat up the Minutemen. Be like, let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do it. Full steam ahead next year.
Well, that sounds terrific. What time are they arriving? Did they let you know yet?
9:30. So very respectable and normal hour.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
I know. I'm actually a little disappointed. I'm like, oh, come on.
Okay. Leanne was telling me that they also have a tradition on Patriot Day coming up on the 19th or 20th, whatever it is this year. Are you participating in that too?
I haven't heard anything about that, but I am fully on board if they want to. Yep, I know. Well, let's hope so. Maybe they don't know how particularly ridiculously eager we are.
Well, yeah, so I guess they're going to wait to see what breakfast is like before they commit.
Exactly right. Right. I better have really good danishes.
Right. So how are you liking Bedford so far? I know it's not really fair to ask since you moved here with COVID, but.
Oh, no, we lived in town before. So we had been to pole capping, but the breakfast we had just missed on the 19th. Yeah.
Okay.
But we moved from within Bedford. So we've been here since 2012.
Oh, so you know all about this. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and my daughter, my oldest, we have three girls, just like the Knights, which I think is pretty funny. We have three girls, and my oldest, Emma, is a total history nut and a budding historian. So she is so thrilled about pole capping.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. Well, it's very exciting. It's we were talking this morning, and pole capping really is kind of the kickoff to the whole Patriots Day festivities here in Greater Boston. So
yeah, that's right. We do it. We kick it off. We're the first. We start it.
Well, thanks very much. That's really all I have today. Thank you so much for sharing the time.
Yeah, you're welcome. And we're just so happy to own this house, and we're trying to be good custodians of it. And so we're really looking forward to hosting our first breakfast this morning.
Well, thanks again. And good luck with breakfast.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to our first Bedford Explained podcast. You can read some of the other Bedford Explained articles on Bedford Citizen's website, www.thebedfordcitizen.org. Thank you, Sharon, Jim, Leanne, and Stephanie for joining us. And be willing to be our first ever podcast. A special thanks to Mark and Brian at Bedford TV for the use of their studio and their technical expertise. And thank you to the Bedford Historical Society for their help with this one and all the other Bedford Explained articles. If you have ideas for other things you see around Bedford that you would like explained, drop me an email at gene.kalb@thebedfordcitizen.org. Until the next one, goodbye and enjoy Patriots Day in Massachusetts.